From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The new Steven Spielberg film, The Post, is already garnering rave reviews, not just for the performances of its A-list actors, Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks, but for the message of upholding the First Amendment. With journalism directly under attack today by Donald Trump's administration, it's tempting to view the film through the lens of mainstream journalism as a bulwark against government secrecy, corruption, and war crimes in faraway countries. The film is based on the book Personal History, a memoir by Washington Post publisher Katharine Graham, who's played by Streep in the film. The Washington Post's decision to publish the Pentagon Papers, obtained by whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg, is a profoundly important story of how journalism can indeed expose government lies. But my guest, Norman Solomon, writes that what the film misses is the cozy relationship between newspaper publishers and politicians. Norman Solomon is a journalist with ExposeFacts.org, a project of the Institute for Public Accuracy, where he's executive director. He's also the author of War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death, and co-founder of RootsAction.org. And he recently wrote The Real Story Behind Katharine Graham and The Post. Welcome to the program, Norman.
Hey, thank you, Sonali.
Thanks for joining us. So, as I said, the memoir, Personal History, on which the film is based, is the story of Katharine Graham, of her experience. She's a publisher of the Washington Post, and she, played by Meryl Streep in this film, she writes in her memoir about the story of how the Pentagon Papers was published by the Washington Post. Tell us that story, first of all, just to put a context to it. This set of papers obtained by Daniel Ellsberg about the Vietnam War that the New York Times started publishing, but then had to stop.
Yes, Daniel Ellsberg had been a major strategist for the Vietnam War. He was literally at the side of the Defense Secretary Robert McNamara in the Johnson administration as the war escalated. But Dan Ellsberg became gradually disaffected and then opposed towards the war in Vietnam. He worked at the government secrecy think tank, you might say, RAND Corporation in Southern California, and decided to provide the Pentagon Papers, this voluminous 7,000-page report internal about way that the Vietnam War unfolded internal to the U.S. government. He decided that it should be not secret, but it should be made available to the public. And so after a lot of agonizing, he provided that huge report to the New York Times, which published it. And then the Nixon administration was able to enjoin and obtain an injunction to prevent the Times from continuing to publish within a few days. That's when the Washington Post stepped in and, after some internal agonizing, proceeded to report on the Pentagon Papers itself.
So the relationship between the Washington Post's top journalist and the publisher, as well as the relationship between them and U.S. politicians, is the part of the story that we don't hear about. Because, of course, it was amazing that the Washington Post and the New York Times published the Pentagon Papers. You know, it eventually gave impetus to ending that war. But you write that it's crucial for us to expose that Katharine Graham was good friends with Henry Kissinger, for example, right?
Yes, and it's in that same spirit of historical accuracy rather than hagiography, we need to look at the timing, because the Pentagon Papers were released by the Times and then the Post in informational power to the public in June of 1971. But the Vietnam War was really launched in a huge way with the Gulf of Tonkin misreporting way back in August of 1964. So you have, 7 years of slaughter escalating in Southeast Asia at the hands of the Johnson and then Nixon administrations, aided and abetted actively by U.S. news media, and certainly second to none, the New York Times and the Washington Post. So when people and millions of them will go in and out of movie theaters in the next several weeks watching this Spielberg production with, as you mentioned, this star-studded cast of Streep and Hanks and so forth. The history is very important to be kept in mind because they're not going to see it on the big screen. And when you boil it all down, the Washington Post, like the New York Times and other major U.S. media outlets, absolutely made the Vietnam War possible throughout the 1960s. And now we're praising those two newspapers appropriately for finally telling some truth. But that wasn't until literally a few million people in Southeast Asia and close to 50,000 Americans had died in that war.
It would have been a compelling story to see the evolution from, Catherine Graham's cozy relationship with politicians to her decision to publish the Pentagon Papers, but that part one, it seems, was crucially left out. Would you say that the Washington Post enabled the Vietnam War to continue for as long as it did? Because this was a war that went on for far longer than the American public was able to acknowledge it. For nearly a decade, it continued as this faraway thing that happened in the backdrop of day-to-day life in the U.S. And the only experience we had was through the draft that our soldiers were going and fighting. But the horrors of the Vietnam War were not initially, and for many years, being covered by the Washington Post.
Yes, well, the Post was typical of daily newspapers, and it was one of the most important during the 60s and 70s already, in that there was no strong editorial opposition whatsoever during the 1960s to the U.S. war on Vietnam. And in point of fact, when the Boston Globe did a survey of more than 30 different daily newspapers in the United States in February of 1968, it found that not a single one of them had taken an editorial position to withdraw from Vietnam militarily by the U.S. government. So you had this sort of unanimity with all sorts of tactical debates and criticisms from the Washington Post, from the New York Times, throughout this escalation of the war. And when we look at the reporting and the editorial positions taken by the Post and other papers, yes, you can find a few bright spots of reporting, but overall it was serving as a sort of conveyor belt and echo chamber for the official story. About a third of a century after the Gulf of Tonkin resolution, I called Murray Marder, who was the diplomatic chief correspondent for the Washington Post at the time of the Tonkin Gulf incident, which mostly was a fiction in terms of supposedly U.S. ships being attacked by North Vietnamese vessels. And I asked Mr. Marder, keep in mind, this is in the late 1990s, did the Washington Post ever retract its false reporting on the Gulf of Tonkin events? And after all, Mr. Marder was one of the key reporters who covered those events for the Post. And he said, absolutely not. There was never any retraction whatsoever. And I asked why, and he said, well, if the news media were going to retract its coverage of the Gulf of Tonkin events, then it would have really just as much had to retract virtually its entire coverage of the Vietnam War. And this is from somebody who was on the front page of the Post covering the diplomacy and the war effort of the U.S. government as the Vietnam War escalated. And I think this is important because even when the Washington Post turned to the point that it was willing to publish reporting about the Pentagon Papers, the Post did not really break with the national security establishment. And so you had, as the 1970s went on into the 80s, Ben Bradley, who's portrayed by Tom Hanks in the film, in real life, he later acknowledged that the Post backed off. They had helped to bring down one president, Nixon. They didn't want to be perceived as too aggressive to bring down another president. Hmm. And so you had Katharine Graham and Meg Greenfield, who's also portrayed in this film, having lunch with Nancy Reagan, the first lady, during the Reagan administration, being cozy. And it was even speculated that if Kay Graham had made friends with Pat Nixon, the first lady under the Nixon administration, perhaps she would not have wanted to go ahead and publish the Pentagon Papers. I mean, who knows? But the point is that coziness got worse. They were social
relationships. She claimed that those relationships had no bearing on her paper's coverage.
Yeah, this is one of the fantastical claims of Katharine Graham's Pulitzer Prize-winning autobiography out now 20 years ago called Personal History, where she really claims that she ran this newspaper with integrity. Yes, she was very close friends with Henry Kissinger. Yes, she was close friends with Robert McNamara and so forth. But she claimed, as you mentioned, that, hey, that didn't affect the reporting. Well, the fact is very much otherwise. I interviewed Robert Perry, who was for 3 years in the late 1980s, a reporter in Washington for Newsweek, which was also owned by the Washington Post company at that point. And he told me on the record, and I've quoted him on this, saying that he prepared a story for Newsweek about the way that the CIA was funneling Contra anti-Sandinista funding through the Catholic Church of Nicaragua at the time to fight the legitimately elected Sandinista government in Nicaragua. And he was told that the story had to be watered down because Henry Kissinger was a house guest for Katharine Graham that weekend. And we have a record that FAIR, the Media Watch group, which was founded back in the mid-1980s, has accumulated, and people could Google it at FAIR.org, of throughout the U.S. military interventions and military aid in Central America and so many wars since then, overt and covert, the Washington Post has been just an accessory to the war crimes of the U.S. government. And so here we are, you know, at the end of 2017, and the box office we know is going to be big for a film that justifiably lauds narratively the Post's courage to publish reporting on the Pentagon Papers. But what's left out is going to be very misleading for a lot of people unless independent journalists, progressives, activists can set a historical context. Aldous Huxley, in his introduction to the book Brave New World, pointed out that, as he put it, lies are powerful, but even more powerful is silence about truth. And it's the imperative of independent journalists and activists and people who want a better future to shatter the silences that really are lies. And that includes this myth that somehow a courageous corporate press is protecting us from tyranny and wars around the world.
Well, Norman, we'll post a link to your piece about the film, The Post, from our site later today. Thank you so much for all the work you do and for joining us.
Thank you, Sonali.
Norman Solomon is a journalist with ExposeFacts.org, a project of the Institute for Public Accuracy, where he's also the executive director. He's the author of War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death, and co-founder of RootsAction.org. We've been discussing his latest piece, The Real Story Behind Katharine Graham and The Post. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.